Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you are with us online on this long weekend. And also, welcome to August. I find it a little hard to believe, but time is relentless in its movement, and here we are again already in August. And it has been quite a year thus far, hasn't it? The year started with sobering headlines as New South Wales, Australia, was in a state of emergency due to uncontrolled wildfires. Do you remember that? It seems ages ago, and it seemed like the whole country was burning up. It was only January 2nd that an Iranian general was killed in a U.S. drone strike, and we wondered what might come of that Middle East tension. It was January 7th that the World Health Organization was notified regarding what we now call COVID-19 that was unfolding in China and spreading. Who could have imagined what the next months would bring? And then on January 8th, the shocking headline news that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were stepping down from their duties as senior royals in Buckingham Palace. Oh my goodness. Wow. And that was just the first week of 2020. It has been stated over and over again that we live in unprecedented times. And while in one sense, every day and every week and month and year is unique, so many things that we take as normal have been impacted by the world impact of COVID-19. And that is going to continue, of course, for some time. And one of the things that I have been much more aware of that is going on in me, and I expect something that you are navigating, is its fear, and its cousins, anxiety and worry. The official numbers of COVID-19 positive infections diagnosed in Canada to date is just a little under 117,000 cases. Beyond those specific numbers, it's estimated that about 1% of the population of Canada has been infected. But I expect the number of people that have been impacted by increased fear and anxiety is closer to 100% of the population. I know I have. Someone has said, nothing spreads like fear and anxiety. I don't state that to minimize in any way the seriousness of this disease, the necessity to take appropriate precautions. We need, of course, to continue to work together. I'm simply highlighting the reality that all of us are navigating one of our God-given, very human, important, but also challenging emotions, and that is fear. And of course, it's not just fear about possibly getting infected. It's the fear of the impact on our economy, jobs, education, our children, so many other things. It was, of course, anxiety and fear that led to foolish hoarding in the early days of this pandemic. Anxiety and fear is our natural response to uncertainty, and we live in uncertain times. But it is also often detrimental and debilitating. Fortunately and wonderfully, we are not left without resources to help us navigate uncertain times and help us deal helpfully with fear and anxiety. Not so that we don't or never have fear and anxiety, that is unrealistic, but so that fear and anxiety don't run or control our lives. I acknowledge that I have had to wrestle with anxiety and fear all my life. I'm speaking about this topic this morning not because this is no longer a challenge for me, but because I'm continuing to deal with this and need to be reminded over and over again through the scriptures how I can deal with them appropriately, rightly, in a godly way. And one of the Psalms I turn to and am inviting you to turn to also is Psalm 27. It's a marvelous psalm that helps me, and I hope it will help you. Before I read this wonderful psalm, I wanted to let you know it basically has four sections, and I think this will help you as we prepare to read through the psalm. It's composed by David, and he writes first of all of his confidence, verses 1 to 3, his longing, verses 4 to 6, his plea, verse 7 to 12, and then his hope, verses 13 and 14. And with that as kind of the basic structure, I'm going to read through this entire psalm, and you can follow along with me on screen or with your devices that you have with you or your Bible. Let's hear this psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice. With shouts of joy I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, or for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. I am suggesting that this is a wonderful psalm to reflect on. When we find ourselves in difficult or uncertain or even overwhelming circumstances, because this psalm of David addresses a variety of scenarios. Let me just highlight a few of them throughout this psalm. Verse 2 speaks of wicked people advancing against him to devour him. He then calls them his enemies, attacking foes. Verse 3 speaks of an army besieging him, war breaking out. Verse 5 speaks of a day of trouble. I would say we are in a day of trouble. Verse 6 speaks of enemies surrounding him. Can't get away from them. Verse 7 speaks of the possibility of his parents forsaking him. That is, those closest to him, letting him down, feeling all alone. Verse 11, of oppressors. Maybe you're feeling oppressed. Verse 12, of foes and false witnesses, violent violent threats. David knew difficult circumstances. Now, the psalmist David was king of Israel, and he was also a warrior. You might think that David had developed tough skin and nothing fazed him. Not true. The Psalms reveal what went on in the inner working of David, who gave, for the most part, such bold, courageous, heroic, and strong leadership. Through the Psalms, we get an insight into how he managed his fear. David doesn't minimize the challenges. Living every day took courage for him, and it does for us too. Let me suggest that though we're not in a physical war, which David cites a lot through this psalm, we're not in a physical war with an earthly enemy, but we are in a spiritual war. And we certainly are in days of trouble. And you may feel the oppressive nature of our circumstances. You might be feeling alone and spending far too much time alone than you'd like. You might be experiencing opposition, variety of kinds. And in the midst of all of those circumstances, just like David, we are to and can live with faith and courage. Well, how did David do it? Well, first, David was confident that his God was greater than his challenges. These are the strong and powerful message in the opening words. Let me just read again verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Light overcomes the darkness, shows us the way when we don't know the way. Salvation is confident deliverance. Gonna lead us, guide us, help us. A stronghold is security and strength and defense. And all these things, David says, are the provisions of his Lord, of Yahweh. It is the same confidence that would lead the Apostle Paul to say centuries later, in light of the grace and power of Jesus Christ, if God is for us, who can be against us? David and Paul teach us that the first and main principle in dealing with fear is refocusing on who God is and our relationship with Him and nurturing our faith. We need to refocus our minds and think about what we're dwelling on. And we need to magnify the Lord. That's what David does. He magnifies the Lord. Magnifying the Lord does not make the Lord bigger than He is. It makes Him bigger to us so that other things become less. That's what David does. That's what we need to do too. And may I suggest that one of the things maybe that we all need to do right now is limit how much news we listen to. I'm not suggesting we stick our heads in the sand or ignore reality. I'm saying we need to limit how much anxiety-causing, fear-stimulating news we dwell on. David puts his mind on the Lord. David was anchored in the greatness and goodness and beauty and power of his Lord. That was his confidence. God was ultimately in charge and he could trust him. And we can too. The second section of the psalm speaks of and gives us insight into David's longing. Let me state again just verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Some have described this as David's one holy passion. And that was to dwell with Yahweh, to be fully in His presence, to gaze on the beauty of Yahweh and who He was and His splendor and glory, to seek Him, which is to pursue knowledge in Him. Then verse 6 goes on, to worship Him with abandon. This was also David's hiding place. This was the place he could find true security. Now, interestingly, David wasn't a priest. His calling in life was not to be in the tabernacle daily. Remember, the temple itself had not even been built yet. But he was the king with huge responsibilities. But even in the midst of that, his desire, the passion of his heart, his longing was to be in the presence of God. You see, David knew that he would never be completely at rest until he could be fully with the Lord. And he expresses that longing here. He writes about it. Now, what does that have to do with fear? I think that what David is doing is replacing fear with faith. Because if we let fear dominate, it will be the controlling passion of our lives. But no, says David, my longing, my passion is for you. And maybe David could see the day coming when all earthly battles would come to an end and there would be a time of unending joy. Some people think the application of this verse is about going to church and making sure that's a regular pattern of their lives. I'm not so sure, as important as that is. I think David is writing about his anticipation of heaven, about being fully in God's presence. That's what David longs for. And that's what we're to long for. We're to nurture that passion. Christians through the ages have anticipated that day when we will be with the Lord in His glorious presence and sing His praise unending. And there we will celebrate the victory of God and know complete security and rest. And you see, this helps us put the concerns of earth in perspective. This is the central message of the book of Revelation, the final book of the Bible. When this life is at its worst, we need to look ahead to what we will one day enjoy. Death itself, in that context, is not to be feared, because death will simply usher us in to the perfect presence of the Lord. What a passion that guided David's life. That's to be our passion too. David longed for that day. Yet, he and we, of course, still have to navigate our way through life's day-to-day challenges. And David does that through prayer. While this whole psalm is in one sense a prayer, this next section is actually David's plea, the largest section of the psalm. And in this section, David pours out his heart to God. Let me just highlight three of those verses. Verse 7, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me. Answer me. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Verse 11, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. There is so much here. But David brings it all before the Lord in prayer. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. This was the secret to David's courageous life. He prayed through his fears. He prayed through his challenges. He prayed through his doubts and difficulties and disappointments. He humbled himself and pleaded with God for his help, for his deliverance, for his guidance. Are you doing that in this season? We will not experience God's peace apart from prayer. And we will not live courageous lives apart from prayer. And we will not be the kind of people God desires us to be apart from prayer. Are you making prayer a priority in your day-to-day lives? Over my life, there have been lots of times of pleading with God, pouring out my heart about the different circumstances I was navigating. God has not always answered the way I would like, but I can testify today that God answers prayer, and He is a helper, and He is a deliverer, and He is a guide. And you can experience this too. But you need to turn to Him. You need to pour out your heart to Him. David's final word in the psalm is then of confident hope. He writes, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord." As we navigate life's difficult circumstances, we are to trust in the Lord's goodness and His timing. So often in the scriptures, we have this instruction to wait. Waiting is hard, isn't it? Most of us struggle with impatience, some more than others, don't we? God's timing is not often our timing. And in the timing, David counsels, be strong and take heart. Be strong and take heart. That is, don't give up. Keep holding on. Know that God is faithful and good and working out His purposes in our world and in your life. Do battle with the forces of fear, and listen for the voice of God. Magnify Him. Consider your fears in light of who He is. Let me state again those opening words of Psalm 27, and may they resound in your own heart and mind. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As the gospel song says, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. May our faith increase as our fears decrease, so that we can live boldly, courageously, peacefully for Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, thank You for these ancient psalms that we have been looking at this summer. Thank You for the ways that they speak into the realities of our lives. For as David struggled and had challenges, lived through days of trouble and oppression and heartache, loneliness, so we do too. But he learned this confident trust in the Lord. Help us, O God, by your Spirit. You have given us, through Jesus, spirit, faith, hope, life, joy. May your Spirit fill us anew, that the voices of fear that would control us, overwhelm us, oppress us, be limited, would shrink. Help us to magnify your name, to glorify who you are, to set our minds upon you and the eternal hope we have in you. And Father, even now, we pray that you would help us to worship you as David worshiped you, to sing songs of praise, to bring glory to your name, to remember, to be reminded of your greatness, that you are light, that you are salvation, that you are our stronghold in times of difficulty. We praise you, O God. Fill our hearts now with a sense of your presence. For in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.